Thanks to that little Sunday school song, we are all familiar with Zacchaeus. The song has three verses. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Now, I've been working on this all week, this passage. I discovered that if I wanted to annoy my wife, I would just start singing that, because apparently it sticks in her head, and it takes her the rest of the day to get rid of it. So, Zacchaeus, oh, stop it! That was my entertainment this week. The second verse tells us, and when the Savior passed that way, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today. And the third verse, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but a happy man was he, for he had seen the Lord that day, and a happy man was he, and a very happy man was he. So, what do we know from the song as we talk to the kids? We know that Zacchaeus was not a tall man. He was vertically challenged, as we might say. And Jesus is passing through his town, and Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. So, he scaled a tree. Jesus spots him in the tree and invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. And as I told the kids, if you're walking down the street and you see somebody in a tree, don't invite them to your house. That's just a good rule to live by. Zacchaeus was pleased about this because he gets to see Jesus, and that is what he wanted. Now, the song, it's great because it's really pretty close to the scripture story. I'd like to take a few moments this morning and dig a little deeper, however, into the scripture, go beyond the theology of the song. We are coming now to the end of Luke's travel narrative. Started back in chapter 9. We are now at chapter 19. We're going to have to skip a passage. You can read the rest of chapter 19. And next week, Palm Sunday. Yes, I know, wrong time of year. But the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So today, we're coming to the end. This is our last story of Luke's travel narrative. Jesus is getting closer to Jerusalem, and the last stop on the road to Jerusalem is, of course, Jericho. And today's reading begins with these words, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. In this city of Jericho was a man named Zacchaeus. And Luke tells us that not only was Zacchaeus a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. And then Luke tells us that he was rich. And this is not a coincidence. We don't have to read between the lines to see what is being implied here. Tax collectors were not well liked by the people because they were seen as being co-conspirators with the Roman government in its oppression of the Jewish population. In addition, tax collectors were notorious for cheating people out of their money. And Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector, which puts him at the top of this particular pyramid scheme. Earlier in the gospel, Luke highlights the disdain directed towards all tax collectors. Back in chapter 5, Jesus calls the tax collector Levi to follow him, and then has dinner at Levi's house, and this upsets the Pharisees, who of course always lump tax collectors and sinners into the same category. They are equal. In chapter 15, the Pharisees gripe again that Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them, and this of course includes the tax collectors. In chapter 18, you will recall that parable about the Pharisee praying in the temple, who boasts that he's better than other people and glad that he's not like others, like sinners, especially that tax collector that's standing right over there. It's pretty clear what the Pharisees think of the tax collectors. Zacchaeus, this tax collector, catches wind that Jesus is coming through town. And Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. We don't know how much Zacchaeus knew about Jesus, but certainly he knew enough to pique his curiosity. Maybe Zacchaeus had heard that this traveling rabbi offered forgiveness of sins, or he did miracles and deeds of power and healings. But apparently he had heard enough that he wanted to see this man who was passing through town. Yet, because of his height or lack of height, he couldn't see over the crowds. So he runs ahead on the road till he finds a tree, and he climbs up in that tree so he can get a better view. It's possible that it was not just a matter of his not being able to see over the crowd, but maybe the crowd actively positioned themselves in front of him. Sort of a cruel game with the short tax collector. Everybody was kind of in on the joke of not letting Zacchaeus. A little passive-aggressive action by the people. Now, of course, Luke's congregation, as anybody would have laughed at this image of a grown man climbing a tree to see over people. Children climb trees, not men who have position within society. But Zacchaeus' persistence pays off. For when Jesus comes down the road to that tree, he looks up and says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." It's interesting that although Zacchaeus did not know who Jesus was, Jesus knows him. Zacchaeus hurries down from the tree and gladly welcomes Jesus to his home. However, those in the crowd, those who are watching this, grumble and say, "Jesus has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Now, that really is the end of the first half of the Zacchaeus story. The second half takes place at Zacchaeus' home. And Zacchaeus stands before Jesus in his home and says, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." What we have here is a wonderful story of repentance. And because of his interaction with Jesus, this sinner, this tax collector, promises to make amends. He promises to give generously to the poor and to make restitution to anyone he may have swindled. His promise to return four times far exceeds what is required by Scripture. The book of Leviticus requires that if someone takes money from you, they are to return that amount plus 20%. The law is requiring repayment of 120%. Zacchaeus is promising a repayment of 400%. In response, Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." And that, I believe, is what Zacchaeus was seeking. Salvation. He attains this salvation through his meeting Jesus. Jesus identifies Zacchaeus as a son of Abraham, a child of Abraham. And when you recall several stories back, when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, they were then able to return to society, to take their place again. And in the same way, Zacchaeus, by being identified as a child of Abraham, is able to take his place among his people. No longer is he to be an outcast. This is a great story. It's a perfect story for a sermon because the lesson is clear. If we are sinners, then we must seek out Jesus, make amends for our sins, and be forgiven. But I believe there is more going on here. And the first clue that there is more going on can be found in the verbs. The verbs in verse 8. Traditionally, we read this verse in the future tense. It's how our translation offers it today. There it says that Zacchaeus promises that he will give to the poor, that he will pay back the money. The Greek, however, the verbs are actually in the present tense. And what Zacchaeus is saying to Jesus is that presently he is giving to the poor, that he is paying back. This is an ongoing activity on Zacchaeus' part. The traditional way of looking at this as saying this is something he will do honestly offers a much cleaner, neater story. The alternative that I'm suggesting is a bit more complicated. But it is also, I believe, more in keeping with the logical arc of Luke's gospel. So, you need to just hang with me for a few more moments on this. One thing that you will notice in this story about Zacchaeus is that Zacchaeus never confesses his sins, nor does he repent to Jesus. He climbs a tree. He wants to see Jesus. Jesus sees him and says, "Come to my house." And Zacchaeus tells him what he's been doing. Everybody around Zacchaeus is grumbling about this man, this sinner. And it appears it is in response to what the people are saying about him that Zacchaeus tells Jesus, well, what he's been doing. He says, "Lord, they call me a sinner, but I give to the poor. I make restitution if I have taken something from somebody." As one scholar wrote, he says, "I suspect that Zacchaeus is not turning over a new leaf as much as he is lifting up an old one for all to see." I agree with that. Maybe Jesus had heard about this tax collector in Jericho who gives to the poor. As we have seen time and time again in Luke's gospel, Jesus sides with those who are on the margins, those who are considered down and out, those the world overlooks or ignores or turns their backs on. Although Zacchaeus is rich, he is nevertheless despised by his neighbors. He is shunned. He is labeled a sinner. In the previous chapter, there was a rich man who goes to Jesus and asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And what does Jesus tell him? He says, "Sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and follow me." The man can't do it. He walks away from Jesus in sadness. And the people who are watching this episode are shocked, because if this rich man who keeps God's law, who does everything right, if he can't be saved, then what hope is there for the rest of us, for us average people who clearly sin? And Jesus tells them that it is nearly impossible for the rich man to enter the kingdom. You remember this? "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Now, up to this point in Luke, there seems to be little hope for the rich. We've had the rich portrayed as unable to attain God's grace. But now, at the very end of Jesus' journey, as we near Jerusalem, Luke doesn't burden us with the belief that the rich are shut out. In chapter 18, when people ask, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus replies and sets up the story of Zacchaeus. "What is impossible for mortals is possible for God." We can't do it. God can. Zacchaeus' response to Jesus provides a fitting reversal to the episode of that ruler that we talked about. Remember, the ruler refuses to let go of his possessions and follow Jesus. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, also rich, with Jesus, without even Jesus asking him, does what Jesus urged of the other rich man. He gives. He gives of his possessions. And this tax collector, this sinner, this person that no one likes, becomes an example of what Jesus said about the rich. This camel can go through the eye of a needle. The tax collector, of all people, can attain salvation. With this story about Zacchaeus, I believe that Luke is teaching his people, his congregation, that with God, all things are possible. If Zacchaeus can be a child of Abraham, then Luke's congregation, his congregation of Gentiles, outsiders, they can be children of Abraham as well. They are not shut out from the promise of God through Jesus Christ. As we near the end of this travel narrative, as we get closer to Jerusalem, we may be asking ourselves the same question, the question that the people asked earlier: who can be saved? And the answer is, with God, anything is possible. It's not about money or righteousness or standing within the community. It is, as Luke has said over and over, determined by one's humility. By climbing up into that tree, Zacchaeus actually lowered himself. He humiliated himself in front of the community so that he might see Jesus. And in doing so, Jesus lifted him up. Twice now in this gospel, Jesus has said, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Back to that parable Jesus told about the two men praying in the temple. We would expect that it would be the self-righteous Pharisee who would be rewarded. After all, he had done all the right things. He tithed. He gave to the poor. He fasted twice a week. He should be the one who would be rewarded. But no, Jesus says, it's the tax collector, the one who over in the corner is quietly confessing his sins, asking God for mercy. He is the one that day who goes home justified. This wonderful story about Zacchaeus can be a story of repentance. That's what I told the kids. That works for them. But we can also see it, I believe, as a story of hope and a call for humility. For those who feel shut out from God, who feel lost, who feel that they have come up short, Luke offers us Zacchaeus as a reminder that with God, all things are possible. Anyone can be a child of God. Amen.